So I hope that with the previous two presentations that you've gotten the sense of what JOMCED model is and the potential it has for improving the lives of so many people, especially the poor and marginalized. But it doesn't happen just in the JOMCED area. It's happened throughout the world. And so I will share with you a little bit about how that has happened over the past 40 years. So you've seen the statistics, but I wanted to show it to you in a graphic sense because I think it has more impact on what has really happened at JOMCED. You see in the first 5 years the tremendous impact on these different health indicators, but the continuation of the past 35 years, this has occurred because of what Alex and Shoba have been telling you about with the empowerment of the village, is that they've been able to do this themselves. And that is, so I want for you to keep that in mind as we go through this presentation. You've heard about the JOMCED model. Carl, you've heard that Carl Taylor was very instrumental in the development of the Aroleys and in this project. He was a mentor, an advocate, and a friend. He was also open to learning from JOMCED and from the Aroleys, and not only as a mentor and teaching them. And he also helped make connections for them with the Christian Medical Commission, and I'm glad to see Mary here, who's one of the original staff members of the Christian Medical Commission. So we're grateful for your participation in this process. In WHO with the Almada Declaration and at Johns Hopkins University School of Public Health are a few examples. So how has the influence of JOMCED spread throughout the world? And there are five main areas, and I'll be talking about each of these in this presentation. So expansion and scaling up, learning from the people in JOMCED, networking, publications, and policy. So the expansion, this just gives you a kind of a timeline of how they expanded in the JOMCED area itself, and then in a tribal area about 6 hours away from JOMCED, and then when there was an earthquake in Latur, the villagers also went there about 4 hours away from JOMCED. So over time, more than 500,000 people have been served by this process, and that, but it's even more than that because there's several generations now, so it's probably more like a million as several generations have been impacted by this. And a lot of this expansion with to the tribal area and to the earthquake area was really the villagers themselves. They went to share what they had experienced in this transforming life as a witness to the process. They could share in a way that the people in the villages could understand. They spent time and lived with the people, shared their lives with the people, invited them back to JOMCED to their own villages to also experience what they had been able to do in their own villages and to learn from them. And all of this is, of course, supported by the CRHP team. Beyond the expansion that CRHP has done itself, the other expansion and scaling up is really through partnerships with other NGOs and governments in India and internationally. So this is just an example of some of the things that they've been doing through FBOs and NGOs in India, the Catholic Health Association of India, Future Generations in Arunachal Pradesh, which is in Northeast India, and an Indian NGO in Uttar Pradesh in 6 districts. And then with the government in the early years, the district that JOMCED's located in, the district government asked them to train village health workers for the whole district. And in that process, there were 2,000 village health workers trained for almost 2,000 villages and followed up for a 3-year period. More recently, there's been 2 programs, one in the whole state of Andhra Pradesh, the rural area, which is 22 rural districts, 60 million population. That they've been involved in a training process where people come to JOMCED and then people from JOMCED go to follow up in the Andhra Pradesh districts. And then also in Maharashtra in 8 primarily tribal districts because of the work that they had done in the tribal project earlier on, they've been able to scale that up to 8 tribal districts in Maharashtra. And in 1992, because since 1970, people have known about JOMCED, and I'll talk more about that later. And so people have been visiting Jomkit, and over the years, so in 1992, they decided to establish the Jomkit Institute for Training and Research to have a more formalized way of helping people learn more about the Jomkit model and how to integrate it into their work. So the purpose of the of this institute is to share this successful experience and train persons in this empowering approach of health and development, which Shoba and Alex have been sharing with you. And in the institute, there are established courses, there are customized courses by request by individuals and organizations, there are medical electives for students and public health internships. There are other visits that can be organized for orientation and exposure visits. There are other learning opportunities and research possibilities. And then there's a mobile health unit made up of villagers and staff that go to other places to help those organizations. So over the years, there's been over 30,000 people from India that have come to Jomkit and over 2,500 people from other countries that have come to learn from this experience. And the training includes knowledge and skills, but more importantly, attitudes and values that that Shoba and Alex have been talking about, personal development, health and social issues, how to work with communities so the communities can assess their own problems, analyze the causes, and plan their own actions with their local resources, and get beyond health and social issues into some of the economic issues also. The training is very participatory, and the teachers are mainly the villagers and the staff who have developed and experienced this transformative process. So who comes? And I won't read through this, but I just want you to have a sense that anybody and everybody comes from various levels in the health system and educational levels, and you know, everybody comes, and as well as students. And where do they come from? In India, they come mainly from North India and Northeast India, which is the poorest, and the health statistics are the worst in those areas. So they're the ones that come, even though Jomkit is in Maharashtra, which is not one of those states, but most of the people that come for training from India go back to and serve in those states. So NGOs come, FBOs come. There's also been an urban adaptation in New Delhi called ASHA. And students come from a variety of disciplines. And internationally, people come from UNICEF, WHO, there have been government visits. People have come from about 100 countries over the years, NGOs, and then again, students. These are kind of the current relationships that Jomkit has with different educational systems in Australia, Europe, and North America. And then government representatives from Asia have come over the years. And Dr. Maybell was a senior advisor to UNICEF South Asia office in the mid-90s. So the countries of South Asia got an extra kind of dose of community-based primary health care through her influence. And as I mentioned, there's a mobile training unit that is staff and village health workers and villagers that visit other organizations. And mostly they visit people that have already been to Jomkit for training and to help follow up with the organizations they work with. The Arolis have been consultants to various organizations. And I'm glad to see David Shanklin here, who probably benefited from their experience at the Andean Rural Health Project. And as I said, Christian Medical Commission, Mary's here with that. The United Methodist Church is a special example because Dr. Maybell worked there in the early 90s to help them understand more about community-based primary health care and then expanded it throughout, especially Latin America and Africa. In Latin America, they set up some training centers for Latin America itself, and they've had people come to Jomkit for training and then going back from various countries in Africa. In Latin America especially, and then the Arolis have gone to those countries to do some follow-up. So this gives you a visual presentation of the expansion of Jomkit throughout the world. So the third way they've been expanding their experience is through networking, both international, national, and state levels, through coalition memberships and organizations, and conferences like this for giving presentations and networking with different organizations. And also, Jomkit International North America is an NGO here in the U.S. that I work with that we also help with this networking process and promoting the JOMKET approach. And I won't go through this list, but I just want you to see that there are a lot of international, national, and state organizations that they've been involved in. And they've also helped found some, like the Voluntary Health Association of India, which is the largest health NGO in India. They, variety of conferences. And then the fourth way, of course, is through publications. And there have been some publications that have been written by the Arolis. Contact number 10 by the Christian Medical Commission in 1972, which I actually produced, so I was very pleased about that. But that was the first international exposure of JOMKET. And then JOMKET, the book, there's a copy in the back that you might be interested in looking at. They've written chapters and books, Health by the People, that WHO produced in 1975, before Almada, which influenced what happened at Almada. And then they've done various articles and papers, and then there have been other things written about CRHP and the Arolis research studies, whatever. And two recent ones are the National Geographic, which is in the back too. December 2008, there was an article called Necessary Angels about the village health workers. And then just last month, WHO Bulletin published an article about the lasting impact of JOMKET on children under five. And then CRHP has been mentioned in a variety of articles. And I've been working on a bibliography that we'll soon have on the JOMKET website. And then the fifth area is policy. State, national, and international, not only government policy, but policy of church programs in terms of what work that they think they should be doing, as well as donor agencies in terms of what kind of programs they should be funding. As we've been saying, too, that CRHP's experience informed the Almada Declaration, and it continues to serve as a model internationally in the current renewed interest in primary health care. And some of these I've mentioned already. And then policy in India, the most recent thing is Roger Arolis has been on the National Rural Health Mission, national committee that's chaired by the Prime Minister, that has been incorporating some of the JOMKET principles. And he's been involved, and Maybelle and Shoba have been involved in a lot of these other committees of the national and state. So in conclusion, I would like to say that JOMKET principles of equity, integration, and empowerment are relevant worldwide, then and now. They build the capacity of communities to address their own situation. They deal with social determinants. They've met the MDGs before they were even established, in 2000. It's sustainable, as we've been talking about. The best way to learn this approach is from the staff and villagers who develop the process and experience the transformation. CRHP's experience has shown its important role to pioneer, demonstrate, and share new efforts in CBPHC with NGOs and governments. It has a 40-year history, but it continues to look at new areas emerge, new priorities from the communities emerge. CRHP works with those communities to address those issues, some of which you've mentioned already: mental health, non-communicable diseases, cost-effective secondary care to support primary health care, adolescent girls and now boys, artificial limbs, we call it the Jaipur foot, economic development, especially for women, watershed development, and they have a farm for training and demonstration in agriculture, so they're also dealing with environment and economic development. And all of this will produce health for all for the world. Thank you.